Chapter 2 is about the recital of Shema and different things about it. And as you see, there's 17 halachot on it. And the Rambam first goes into the idea of concentration, which is basically kavanah, but that's the first one. Aleph is about kavanah, and then bodily position. It may not look like it has to do with concentrating, but when you get to that halacha, it'll be explained why it's there. And then you have the third one is if you're walking, can you say Shema walking? Because you may not concentrate. That's the idea. And if you're sleeping. Now, if you're sleeping, you're not going to do anything. This halacha is really about other people. Do they have to wake you up to say Shema and for maybe for how much of the Shema? So that's what that gets into. And these three is about concentration. Then you have preoccupation. If a person's in the middle of something, does he have to stop in order to say Shema? Of course, Shema is biblical, so it should be strict. Now you have different types of preoccupation. You have employment, number four. If a person's at his job, and we don't want to take away from the boss and the money he's giving us, you can't just spend all time praying and saying Shema, so there's rules on it, in order that we take the least amount of time possible. And then you have five, Torah study. If you're learning Torah, a person can learn Torah all day. Maybe then he doesn't have to do any mitzvot. So we'll see how that is and what's the logic of it, if it is or if it is not. And public service. If you're doing a mitzvah and you're helping people, do you have to stop that in order to say Shema? And that law and number six are coming out of Masechet Shabbat, believe it or not, the first perek. And this is a classic example where the Rambam took it and put it in its place here. Then you have number six is just various other things. Like if you're in the middle of a meal, do you have to stop? If you're taking a haircut, do you have to stop? And there's other examples in that halacha also. And then you have mikveh. What if a person went to the mikveh and now he's in the water and it became Shema time? Should he try and rush out of there? So there's a halacha on what he should do. And it has to do also with modesty. You'll see that's part of it. Then you have manner, which is how do you say the Shema? And you'll see that all these next ones have to do with that. For instance, number eight, gestures. You know, we shouldn't point and make faces with our eyes to tell someone something. That's almost as bad as talking itself. You're not supposed to make gestures like that in the middle of the Shema. And audibility. Again, whatever the halacha is, does it have to be audible to our ears? Do you have to hear yourself saying it? And what might be, again, the logic of it or the source of it and all that? And enunciation. You have to say it clearly, or do you? And what do you have to say clear? Number nine goes into some examples about enunciation. What are some of the examples of saying it? Like, for instance, when we say words like al levavecha, you have to say the al, the lamid, and then say levavecha. You can't just skip one lamid. So those are examples of that, to enunciate everything clearly. Then you have the language. Does it have to be in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew? Can you say it in another language? See, this is all about manner. How do you say it? And then you have 11 is the order. The order of Shema. Do you have to really say it the way it's presented in the Siddur? Maybe you want to say V'haya im Shamoa first, and then Shema for a second. Not that you would do it purposely, but if it happened that you did it, you didn't know any better, does it mean you fulfilled your obligation or not? And repetition. What if you repeated something? What if you said something twice? And there's examples of that to know. And then pausing. What if you paused and you didn't say anything? You just waited 30 seconds. Could that be a problem? And dozing. Sometimes you doze off also for a few seconds or for a while. Does that mean you can just get back to where you are, or do you have to start from the beginning because too much time passed? And that's what that is about. So from 8 to 12, you have all different ways of saying Shema. So it's all under manner. And again, you see how the Rambam put it all in one spot. And then you have now doubts and errors. If a person made a mistake or he's in doubt. And one idea is the resolution, meaning what do you do about it? So there's a doubt if you said the whole Shema, or if you missed some words, or if you're in doubt which paragraph you're on. All this will be explained in Halakha 13. And 14 continues on this about the resolution, meaning what to do about it. And it talks about if you, by habit, you just mumbled the next few words of a paragraph, so it must mean that's probably where you were. And it'll elaborate too on that. Then you have greeting interruptions, which is again like the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah in Berachot 2:1, that talks about if you can greet someone, and it's about an interruption, obviously. Now, there's three things about it. Between chapters, can you greet someone if you're in between the chapters? And then 16, what if you're in the middle of one chapter? You know, it's a little stricter because you're in the middle of a chapter, so it might, the rules might be different, as we'll see. And then 17, the Rambam goes into defining the chapters and telling us what is a chapter so that we know if we stopped at one, that we can greet at that spot or not. Now notice the Mishnah, 15 and 16 are coming out of the same Mishnah, 2:1 in Berachot, and yet 17, which is to define the chapters, is already the next Mishnah. So the Rambam followed that. Sometimes the Mishnayot do have a certain organization to it. It's just sometimes it's from memory, like we said many times, not always just to do it the way the Maimonides did it, all based on topic. But here you have 17 halachot, all nicely organized and arranged by topic so a person can learn them easily.